You are listening to the Rema Chapel Podcast, which brings the message of Jesus Christ to the lost all across the globe. Today's speaker is our own pastor, Reverend Samuel Donkwote, pastor of Rema Chapel Bielefeld, Germany. Hope you enjoy this message.
Hallelujah! God bless you, God bless you. Good, so today we want to talk about raising altars. Raising altars. I know we didn't finish when we were talking about altars, guiding spirits. I think we were talking about altars, guiding spirits, and altar attendance. We didn't finish that. I know that. But today, I want to establish something because I believe that the time we are in, when we are so close to Easter, or better to put it in a better way, when we are so close to Passover. Actually, the word Easter, you find it only one time in the Bible. But the word Passover is in the Bible throughout. So I feel more comfortable to use the word Passover than the word Easter. So I want to talk about raising altars. And I'm going to trust God that it's not going to be long. We need to take communion also. Genesis chapter 12, the verse number 4 to 8. So Abraham departed as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him, and Abraham was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. And Abraham took Sarai, his wife, and Lot, his brother's son, and all the substance that they had gathered and the souls that they had gotten in Haran, and they went forth to go into the land of Canaan, and into the land of Canaan they came. Hallelujah. Thank God Abraham did exactly what God told him to do. They set out to go into the land of Canaan, and into the land of Canaan they came. Verse 6, and Abraham passed through the land into the place of Shechem and the plain of Moreh, and the Canaanite was then in the land. Verse 7, and the Lord appeared unto Abraham and said unto him, and the Lord appeared unto Abraham and said unto him, unto thy seed would I give this land, and there buildeth he an altar unto the Lord who appeared unto him. Please notice that the Lord spoke to him. And after the Lord spoke to him, what did he do to memorialize what the Lord had said? He built what? An altar. Now, understand this, is being written from the past. So the one that is writing is saying, he and his distant, they departed to go to the land of Canaan, and to the land of Canaan they came. Well, he didn't know it was the land of Canaan. The Lord said, I will show you the land. So the Lord told him the direction to go, and the man took off and he started going. And he kept on going, and he kept on going, and he kept on going, until he has entered into a particular place. And if you ask the inhabitants around the area, they said, oh, this is what? The land of Canaan. So then he knew that where he was the land of Canaan, based upon the testimony of the inhabitants of the place. And when God spoke to him, he spoke to him in a place called Shechem. And there, the Bible says, well, he memorialized what the Lord said by building an altar. Verse number 8. And this is the most important verse. And he removed from thence into a mountain on the east of Bethel, and pitched his tent, having Bethel on the west, and high on the east, and there he builded an altar unto the Lord and called upon the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Please notice here, the verse number 7 and the verse number 8. And the Lord appeared unto Abraham and said unto him, unto thy seed will I give this land, and there builded he an altar unto the Lord who appeared unto him. What's the difference between that one and the verse number 8? The difference is, here too he built an altar unto the Lord, and then in addition he called upon the name of the Lord. Have you noticed that? So there is a difference between the altar in Shechem and this particular altar where the man built it and then he called the name of the Lord. So this time, this particular altar, it was not an altar that he built to memorialize the promise. It was an altar that he built in order for him to have a place where he can stand upon and call upon the name of the Lord. Are you okay with me? Remember what we said about altars? When we were dealing with altars, some of the things we said about altars were that altars were a kind of supernatural landing strip where you invited somebody from the spirit world or from the spirit realm to come and interact with you. Now, this person you are inviting from the spirit realm can be from the realm of light or from the realm of darkness. When he is from the realm of light, then the altar, you can say, is an altar to who? The living God. If he's from the realm of darkness, then he is dedicated to the spirits of darkness who come in different names. We know that they come in 1,000 names. The same idol is called by different names in different places, because devil likes to always be deceptive about what he does, but not God. So here, he built an altar in this place where it is called what? Bethel. And then he did what? He called upon the name of the Lord. What did Jesus say about the house? My house shall be. So this particular place is a place of prayer, as compared to the other one where it was a place of memorializing a promise. This was a place of what? Prayer. Now, a place of prayer, Abraham died and left. Who came after Abraham? Isaac. Now, when Isaac was old, when actually the man thought he was old enough that he may die anytime, he decided that he was going to deposit something. Everybody say the blessing. There are blessings and there is the blessing. In other words, this particular blessing is not like any other blessing. Once it is given, it cannot be called back. So it's not the kind of blessing that you give where you have got multiples of it and you can give to many people. So when he called his firstborn son, he has missed God at that point. And the reason we know he has missed God is because when the woman was carrying these kids in her womb, they were fighting. So she went to God and she went to find out, God, why is this happening? You have given me children, and this man that you gave me, the man prayed for me, because actually I couldn't even have children. But the man prayed for me, and then you gave me the children, meaning that these kids are answer to prayer. So if they are an answer to prayer, then why is it, why am I so? Can you give me a thing that is a response to prayer, and then there's this wahala? So she went to find out, and the Lord said, you know what? Because two nations are there. And you know what? The younger nation, that's the one my hand is upon. And the elder who will come first, actually, he's not supposed to come first, because he will serve the younger. That's what God said. And you know what? Because he's not supposed to come first and he's forcing to come first, that's the reason why the fight is going on. Because divinely spoken, he's not supposed to be first. So here you have the woman knowing the nature of the children. And when they come out, they began to display exactly who they are. Because you see, this elder son, he was a man of the field. He was all flesh, if you like. He was somebody who spiritual senses has been completely, completely blinded and destroyed. Do you know that there are Christians like that? I don't have the time, but let me just divert or digress a little bit and tell you that. You know what? Sometimes your worst enemies who will fight your destiny are the Christians. Because the Bible says, well, a man's enemy shall be who? The men of his own house. And the people who will most fight you are the people whose spiritual senses have been blinded though they are born again. And you know what? Anybody who has this tendency of refusing to take up his cross to follow Jesus, it means that he's refusing to do what? Crucify the flesh. You know what Jesus said about the cross? Take up your cross, how? Daily. Jeden tag. Because you see, the offering that you are giving to God, the Bible says, well, offer yourself well, as a living sacrifice. If it's what a dead sacrifice, when you burn it one time, it is fetish, it's finished. Because it's just an event. But this is a living sacrifice we are talking about. So when you burn it today, tomorrow you have to burn it. The next day you have to burn it. You have to keep on what? Burning it every day. And that was the problem with Esau. Because Esau's spiritual senses have been blocked. Listen, all of us, when we were in the world, that's what the devil did. He blocked our spiritual senses. You couldn't sense God. You couldn't hear from God. You were just there and you were blinded. And because of that blinding, the Bible said, you were dead in trespasses and sins. When we come to Christ, he makes our spirit man alive. But there are some people, you know, all they are interested in is that, you know, when you are entering Deutschland, I think, I've forgotten the city that you, when you cross over from Duisburg, you enter. But Duisburg is a border town. It is a border town. So there are people, when they come into the kingdom, they say, oh, I want to stay in Duisburg. They don't even want the center of Duisburg. They want the one that is close to the border because I can slip into Holland and just buy a couple of things and come back. That's what it is. In other words, they like the carnality. They want to be here and to be there. And you see, to be here and to be there will give the enemy the chance to block all your spiritual, sensitivities. The danger is that when your spiritual sensitivities are blocked, what do you become? You become a tool the devil can use in the church. So there are people who are Christians and they are blind witches. Because the devil has blinded them and he can use them anytime. Remember what Jesus told Peter? When Peter said, this thing shall not be to you. What did Jesus say? Let me test you a little bit. Yeah, get thee behind me, Satan. Then he added something else. He said, what? You only think about what? The flesh. You are only carnally minded. And the Bible says to be carnally minded is that, you see. So these people, because they have refused to change in their thinking, they become a prey. The problem with you becoming somebody that the devil can use is that, eventually, you get to the place where you begin to violate your conscience. Because you know that thing is not good, but you will do it anyway. Me too, I want to show him a thing or two. And you go ahead. And you know, when you begin that journey, because you think it's an event. No, it's not. It's a journey. When you begin that journey, you begin to progress and progress and progress until you get to the place where the Bible says your conscience becomes seared. And at the place where your conscience becomes healed, actually, your salvation is in great danger. Because now you are in a place where the devil can actually put active witchcraft onto you. Am I talking to somebody? So when you are a Christian, you want to fulfill your mission. These are some of the spiritual things you need to understand. Because when you do not understand those things, you become a prey. You become somebody that the enemy can, you know. Do you know that your first altar is your heart? Now, this is the most important altar in your life, and it's got to be guarded so jealously that nobody is able to place a negative deposit there. Do you know the people who can place negative deposits there? The people who are close to you. This is the reason why a man's enemy shall be the man of his own house. This is the reason why the Christian with whom you go to church are the same place. This is why the brother or the sister that you consider to be your Christian brother or Christian sister you trust, when you are having that boy or that woman come into your life and it looks like it's going to be a glorious something, before you know it, they go behind your back, chum, they have snatched the man that should be your husband or your wife. Somebody says it doesn't happen in the house of God. Huh? Are you sure? Somebody says Christians don't do that. Are you sure? Are you really sure? That Christians cannot be jealous? That Christians cannot be envious? Are you sure? Huh? I pray that you won't get to the place where you become a victim before you know that people can do that. But anyhow, this guy, he was like that. So you can see clearly that he has appetite for fleshly things or for carnal things, for pure, soulish level things. He doesn't have appetite for spiritual things. And so, therefore, the mother can tell that God was right. Are you getting me? Good. So when the time came and the father wants to release the blessing, he knew that the blessing is spiritual. And when you are giving something precious, who do you give it to? The one who can protect it and do what? Keep it. If you work, you have any treasure, and you give it to a son who cannot protect and keep it, if you are not careful, in the very next generation, he will reset everything, and the family will go back to where it was before God bless you to take you up. So he is not the right person to get the blessing. The right person to get the blessing was Jacob. Unfortunately, he gave him a wrong name anyhow. I wish they had not given him the name of supplanter. I wish they had given him the name of he who is to reign. It doesn't matter who he came from or how he came. If they have given him that one, it would have been a better reflection of the revelation that the woman received. But the interesting thing is that she never shared the revelation with the man. Visionist. I think that this is where we can understand something when we are married people. The area where we refuse to share information or anything God tells us becomes an area where the devil has spill room. He has the freedom to be able to play there. And you know what happened? That this guy shouldn't have gone cheating or lying. What is yours and that God will give to you? You don't have to use crooked means. Remember what I said, God is not going to give you anything if in so doing, he will have to break rules in order to give it to you. Whatever God will give you, he will always find a way that he will still be righteous when he does it. Anyhow, so let's go quickly to this thing. He is giving the information that this is what is about to happen. The mama told him what to do, and so he did it, and guess what? He won. He shouldn't have won. But he won because it was supposed to be his. Those patriarchs, you cannot fool with them. Those guys are anointed people. And those guys, they can actually, at any time, do you know that your human spirit is like the mobile phone? When you are operating in a place where there is network, what happens? Everything is working. So the human spirit is like that. Now, these people, the way they are, their antenna can be turned on at any time. And then boom. So it was a risky thing he did. The father felt him, realized that the skin or whatever showed as the skin looked like the skin of his son. The smell was the same, but he couldn't mimic the voice. He should have told him, ask your maker. Because you cannot give what you don't have. What you have, you got from God. If you are going to pass it on to anybody, God better approve of it. But he was thinking about his venison. Because I think that at that time, the food has been served. And some of you, you know already, when they serve this food, especially if you are hungry waiting for the food, what happens? The thing begins to, you know, the aroma, so zamfed, it's just coming. And you are like, let me finish with this assignment, oh yeah, so that I can move on to the next. So he didn't take time to consult God, and he gave the blessing. Unfortunately, this is not, like I told you, it's not a general blessing. It's a specific blessing. It's the blessing. So once it is given, it cannot be withdrawn. He eats the food, meaning that he has confirmed the blessing. You remember how Abraham confirmed the promises? He built an altar. Now you eat the food, what do? You have confirmed the blessing. So he blessed the man, and then when the man has left, then the son, the real son came. Now the voice is okay, the skin is also okay, the smell is also okay, but the blessing is no more. That's why they had a fight, or that's why the spirit of murder wanted to enter their home. So this guy ran away, and you know what? It's strange that when he started to run, all he's doing is escape from his brother. He has not gone to his uncle before. He just knew that the uncle, the direction of my uncle is east. So let me travel east and keep on traveling where? East. So he was traveling. Where did he land? He landed in a place, he felt tired, and he's like, oh, I want to sleep here. The stone that he saw was an altar. It was one of the stones which this guy used to build his altar. And he put his head on that thing to lie down to sleep. Listen, my dear friends, some of us don't come from the background where Jacob is coming from, where they have been believers, first, second, third generation. Some of us don't come from there. But we come from places where altars have also been erected, nonetheless. And you see, as he is doing his thing, he's making his own choices, the altar is still guiding him. It's an invisible hand that was guiding him. The same way, even if you say you are a believer, there can be altars in your papa's background or your mama's background, and those altars are still active, and what do? They begin to guide you or to lead you or to bring you to certain places. And you know, when the devil is bringing you to any place, it may look beautiful, but at the end of the day, it's not beautiful at all. This is why, as believers, it seems as if we make two or three steps forward and then we have a setback. Anytime you are having setbacks, I think the first thing you need to do is to begin to check. What was the family tree like? What was the papa's line like? What was the mama's line like? Because you see, some of the choices you think they are your own choices, they are not purely your own choices. People can be manipulated when it comes to the time they will marry. They will marry the kind of woman their papa married. Or they will marry the kind of man that their mama married. And if the man was an abuser, you don't like the abuse, but you end up into that same situation. These things are spiritual. And so, as we seek to raise an altar, one of the things we need to understand is we read that two opposing altars cannot what? Dwell together. How? Those of you who are here, talk to me so that I can know that I don't have to repeat what we studied. Two opposing altars don't what? Don't stand side by side, because there will be a fight. Remember what we said? When the altar of God came into the house of Dagon, Dagon says it was his own house, but he was trying to host an altar that was superior to his. You couldn't dominate Yahweh. So Although it was his house, he was polite with him the first time to let the people know that what they have done, that's not the right thing. They shouldn't have done that because what they are dealing with is a superior one. This altar has got fame. It has got history behind it. Even the Philistines know the fame of this thing. Well, he pushed him down just so that they will, you know. See, God doesn't have to kill his enemies in order to be God. This is why the devil is still moving around. He doesn't have to. So if you find God going extreme, it's because certain spiritual rules are being violated. So they did it again, and then this time, he said, no, these guys, they don't know what they are doing. He cut off the head, cut off the legs, you know. He just gave him some ISIS kind of treatment. And that was it. Finished the guy. So you see, when you raise an altar, and then there are these opposing altars, it's going to create problem for you. Do you know why it is more important that you destroy those altars? The reason it is important is because the altars that were at play influence you. Sometimes they influence what you were eating, the kind of choices of drinks you like, the taste and the appetites that you have for the body. They influence that. In other words, those altars determine your culture. So if they are in contention with Yahweh, it's very, very difficult for Yahweh to win. You know why? Because you don't understand that your culture is something that is encapsulating your identity. So when this idol begins to pass through the culture, it's very likely you will turn your back on Yahweh. So when Yahweh is see a situation where there's a contending altar, he will talk to the man. Remember what he said to Gideon? He said, you know what? I've called you. You have accepted that I've called you. You want to do what I've told you to do. But you know what? Pull down the altar of your father, the altar to Baal. Pull it down. There is a groove by it. Cut the groove down and then build me an altar. Because you see, two altars shouldn't, two opposing altars shouldn't dwell together. Okay, so here we have a case where fortunately for him, it wasn't an opposing altar. It was an altar for his destiny. So he goes to lie down there and he sleep. And what happened? Mm-hmm. He had a vision. Good. So you see that at this point, he too, to some extent, he had spiritual dimness of eyes. Hello? I pray God that God will bring you to the place where your eyes are so devoid of darkness that even when you are moving with your eye open, you can see into the realms of the spirit. I pray that God will make it so for you. But his eyes were dark. And because his eyes were dark, God had to put him to sleep in order to do what? Bring him revelation. Do you remember that God speaks to most of us in dreams? Because we haven't got to the place yet. But if you keep on pushing, you get to the place where he doesn't have to speak to you in a dream anymore. God told Aaron and Miriam, he said, you guys, when I'm speaking to you, how do I do it? I speak to you in dreams, but when I'm talking to Moses, what do I do? Because you see, we are all believers, but we are not on the same level. There is a different ranking. And when you keep on pushing, you get to the place where you have a ranking where now, though your physical eyes are still open, you can still see into the realms of the spirit. May God bring us to that place. We don't need to be planted to get to that place. We just need to be people who are dedicated. I pray that God will give me at least 7 people in this church that will be committed, that will be willing to push and push and pay whatever price it is so that we can enter into that realm. Because you see, when we enter into that realm, glory to Jesus. Can I tell you something? We read that we wrestle not against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world. And you know what? When you are talking of principalities, powers, and the rulers of darkness, don't you think too far into just spirit things and, you know, that kind of thing. Because you see, they are spirits, yes, that's true. But no spirit has authority upon the earth based upon what we have learned without a human being. If even Yahweh himself needed a human being in order to be able to have influence here, then the principalities have no influence unless a human being is giving them. So when you talk of a principality, you should be understanding that you are talking about a human being too. Let me try to explain so that you get it. When God comes into your life, what he does, he removes the layers of darkness. He revives your spirit. That is what you are called born again. He revives your spirit. All the capability that your spirit man is supposed to have before Adam sinned, all those ones are restored. That's how you are born again. That's how you are rejuvenated. However, when the devil comes into your life, so let me finish with God. So then the Holy Spirit begins to lead this particular spirit of yours that is rejuvenated, taken by the hand like a father takes a child, and begin to lead you into things, begin to teach you things, and begin to help you to develop skill in doing what? In operating in the realms of the spirit. Your spirit man becomes very active, yet very free with God. Even when the Holy Spirit is together with you, he is not with you like somebody who has kind of captured you and is dominating you. He is with you as somebody who is cooperating with you. Remember what they said in the book of Acts? I think the book of Acts chapter 13, they said, well, it seemed good to us and also to who? The Holy Ghost. So that's how God works. But if the devil is the one who is leading you into the realms of the spirit, what does he do? He blinds you. Because if the devil doesn't blind you, you won't give him your will. No human being is foolish enough to choose something that will harm them. So he blinds you, number one. Then number two, he dominates you. And so he comes. After blinding your spirit man, he fuses himself into your soul and takes over. You see, your spirit uses who? Your soul. But the devil will dominate your spirit and take over your soul and use your soul with his spirit to begin to do things. So then, when we are calling somebody a principality, actually, in the time that you are hosting the demon spirit that is a principality, you and the demon, there's no difference in you, physically speaking. Am I speaking the truth or lying? I tell you that Jesus said, if you have seen me, what have you done? You have seen the Father. Because you see, in the realms of the spirit, that's what it is. People can take on the spirits of other people. And if a man can take on the spirit of another person, he can also take on the spirit who doesn't even have a body. Are you getting my whole point? Remember, God did what? He took the spirit that was upon Moses, and what did he do? He put upon the 70 elders so that they would do the same work that God has given Moses to do. When Elijah was talking to Gehazi, what did he say? Did not my spirit go with you? You are serving me. You carry my spirit. My spirit can ride on you. So his spirit went with him. So you see, when the devil comes, what he does is he will put your spirit being to sleep, kill your spirit being more or less. And then use your soul, fuse with your soul, and begin to use your soul to operate. So when we are talking of principalities, there can be no principality without a human host. Sometimes some of those human hosts, the devil is smart. He doesn't put all his power in one place. Sometimes some of those human hosts are people who are crazy. Yeah. And yet, they are the principality because they are hosting the principality. It doesn't matter whether they cannot, you know, take action directly. But once they are hosting the principal spirit, it is through this particular body that he can call out to the other spirits and they will do things. Remember what happened to the legion, the man who had the legion in him? Now, if Jesus didn't deal with the legion, he could not deal with the legion because the legion was the one who was the controlling spirit in that territory. I hope you are getting something. Because I'm saying all these things so that you understand that you have capacity to grow. You have capacity to develop. It is your business and your duty to stir yourself up so that you are hungry all the time. Can you get to the place where you have all of God? No, you can't. You can only begin to build more capacity. And the more capacity you build, the more God will feel. If the devil has been able to capture men and their principalities and their ruling spirits and they do things, why do you think that God doesn't want to have principalities? Hello? The truth is, there can be only one principality operating in an area at a time. The thing they want to bring us down, one of the things I want to tell you is that me, at this point, I'm not discouraged. I can look at these people, and after over 20 years of doing this work and giving sacrifice, I am not discouraged. And I'm not saying it for your benefit. I'm saying it for those who think that they can manipulate so that they can get me discouraged. I know that when I'm discouraged, I'm willing to give up. That's when they have the victory. But the same thing applies to you. Don't you ever give up. As long as you can stand and stand with God, anything is possible. Though things may be dead around you, when you stand with God, the capacity to bring things back alive, God gives you that capacity. So here we are. The man lands into the place, and the dream, what did he say? He said, what? This place, I see angels doing what? The first thing is what? Ascending. And then the second is descending. Meaning to say that the moment that altar was established and those spirit entities came down, they never left. That altar became an active altar where the angels of God are doing what? Ascending and descending all the time. Take care of your heart. The day you got born again, God gave your guardian angel special responsibility for you. Take good care of your heart, because understand that on your behalf, angels will do what? Ascend and descend. When they ascend, they will ascend with issues concerning you. They will ascend with your prayers and your prayer requests. They will come down with answers from heaven. They will come down with rulings from heaven. They will come down from divine, they will come down from heaven with divine verdicts in your favor. No matter who is fighting against you, he won't win. It doesn't matter how long they have been in the spirit realm. I say the youngest person in Christ, when he's properly connected to the Lord, he is bigger and stronger than the devil himself. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. So the angel, so that's the first thing he sees. Now, let's talk about the negative spirit realm. If this was a negative altar, what would happen? Established by a man. When you do so, what do? You invoke a spirit. So from that moment, that particular environment becomes a possessed environment, a charged environment. And there will be spirits who will do what? Who will what? Descend and do what? Ascend. So when they descend, what do they descend to do? They descend to give reports. And when they ascend to bring verdicts and judgments from the negative realm of the spirit. This is how a man can be there and there and there, and something is supposed to happen at age 35. Spirits don't forget. Spirits are timeless. And when their time comes, bah, the man was healthy all the time. Then boom, everything shifts and changes, because that's the realms of the spirit. Okay, so when we build an altar, we must have those things in mind. Understand also that the man said, so this is where the house of God. This is where your altar is what? And what? The gate of what? So you see that heaven's gates are not in heaven. Hello? Heaven's gates are where? Where the altar is. If people want to have to enter hell, where do they start entering hell? From the evil altar. And if people want to get to heaven, how do they get to heaven? From the altar. Hallelujah. So let me just quickly, because of number one, I believe that you should be taking care of your heart. Please take care of your heart so well, because that is your first and primary altar. When that altar in your heart is broken, you will lose your faith. The Bible says you should what? Take care of your heart with all diligence. All diligence means every form of diligence you can master, focus it on taking care of your heart. Don't allow any human being to be the one who comes corrupting and polluting that altar. Are you okay with me? That means that anybody who offends you, he has the capacity to hold you prisoner. And you must refuse to allow them, because you see, you are infinitely more powerful than them. And if you allow them to hold you prisoner, they disarm you. You could do so much and they have reduced you to nothing. No, it shall not be your case in the name of Jesus. Then the second altar that I am asking you to take care of is the altar of what? Your house. The altar of your house, because you see, they can use the needs of your house to distract you. When they are coming after your children, when they are coming after your husband, they are coming after your marriage, they are coming after your finances, they are coming after anything connected to your house. There can be somebody who comes to visit, you host them in your house, and then your house is never the same again. Does anybody understand what I'm saying? So the altar that is in the house, the physical altar that is in the house, becomes the altar of God in the house of who? Obed-Edom. And that altar will take care of the issues of the house. Please, how would you build those altars? Those of you, I don't know, if you have a guest room, think about making that guest room your altar. Jesus called it what? Your closet. At least make sure it has a key, whereby when you need to be alone, you go there, chum, you lock it up. If you do not have a guest room, then I want to suggest, because in a country like this, it's not like where some of us came from, where all the children, you know, they call it chamber and hall, where some of us came from. The bedroom is one, and then the hall. So either you are sleeping in the hall or you sleep in the bedroom with the parents. And so in those days where you still have to have children, there have to be operations, you have to make sure that everybody is asleep before you do anything. But this nation is not like that. At least you have a kinder timer. Am I okay about that? So please, if you do not have a guest room, I suggest that You corner a place in the kinder timer to make it your altar. And then when you need to go and talk to God or pray or do anything, which maybe can be, do you know that there are certain spiritual operations that can be a bit loud? Every battle of the warrior is what? With confused noise and garments what? Rolled in blood. That's what Isaiah said. So there are times when your praying has to be a bit loud. You don't want to be disturbing your husband, especially if he's not a believer. So in that case, that you can make the child sleep in the hall, or maybe they can go and sleep with Papa, where you go there and you go to operate. When there's the enemy come to do things, most of the time the Bible says, while men do what? So sometimes you may need to operate on that altar when men do what? Sleep. You need to talk to God so that you can know what are the times to set for the altar. The thing about altars is that we said that altar is a place of what? Routine. Or it's a place of, routine. Ritual. Ritual or routine means that something that is done repeatedly. So then, make sure that you have talked with God and you have managed to agree, so that if that altar, you service it every day, every night at 1 o'clock or 12:30 to 1, you do it. Or if you want to do it at 4:30, you know, and then five, you end up, you go and do your things, you do it. It's up to you. But when you take your decision, what do? You do it what? Sock fetish. You do it unrelenting. You do it without fail. You do it every day. You do it just like how you eat. Hallelujah. We are talking about what? Raising altars. Now, the next thing I want for you to do is that the church has an altar. Do you know what happens when you raise an altar in your home? Yeah. Your prayer life will change. That's your Motromojo thing. That your today we are on fire. And then you know, somehow, and then you begin to. That thing will change. You become like a train that is moving. And you know a train, when a train is moving like that, you are a fool to stand in the way of the train, because this train has got momentum. You begin to have momentum. Your altar will do what? It will call you. Your altar will do what? Now, here too, we have an altar here. How many of you know we have an altar here? We have an altar where all of us gather to do the worship. So, the place where you are going, where you consider it your church too, respect the altar there and seek to build that altar and make it strong. How do you do that? You do that by what? Attendance. Don't ever absent yourself from church unless it is a serious matter. Am I saying it for my benefit? No. So please, understand that. Pastor Samuel is not saying it because he wants people in church all the time. At least some of you know that I hardly miss church. How many of you know that? By the grace of God, I happened to wake up one day in Rome on Sunday morning. And by the time that it was time for service here, I was here. So I know it can be done. I know what? It can be done. I'm encouraging you to do it. Then number two, take care of your timing. Hello? Take care of your timing to church. If you really want to make your altar, do you know people can come to church, one person get blessed, another one doesn't? It's because of that attitude. So take care of your timing. I want to suggest to you that when you are coming to church, please, let us 1:30. Our Germans are beginning to love their church now, so they stay long. But please, tell yourself that let us 1:30. And I'm talking to the women who have got children. Because I know if you marry a woman today and she doesn't have children, things are different. The moment they become pregnant, they are going to have children, everything changes. You are being introduced to another kind of person. So you, the men, pray for them. When they are not keeping their time, pray for them. And ask God what you can do to help so that they are in church on time. Why am I saying if it is 1:30, 1:30? Because where I work, there is a time. If you ever allow that the devil can look at the time when you report for work and use it to neutralize this altar here for God, he can rob you of your blessings. Are you getting me? We are dealing with, I told you that the spirit realm is what? It's a very legal realm. So if you don't allow yourself to be more than 15 minutes late to, what do you call it, to work, don't be more than 15 minutes late to church. Meaning that latest by 1:45, you are here. Make a determination. It's a choice. When you decide, then the grace comes to help you. Are we on the same page? I wish I can go on, but should I go on? I just have a couple of things to deal with. My time is up. Yeah, good. So, well, I wanted to talk about tithes and offerings. And when I want to, let me just talk about tithes and offerings, and then prayer and agape, maybe that way I'll continue it some other time. But when it comes to tithes and offerings, I'll end up on that one. Do you realize that when God gave the man everything, he said, this tree, which is a tree of good and evil, don't eat it. What did he say? Don't eat. And the interesting is that the tree of life, he put it in the middle of the garden. The tree of good and evil, we don't know exactly where he put it. But the one that was in the middle, that is the tema. That is the center of attraction. That is the one we are supposed to be make ourselves beshiftive, get ourselves busy with. Somehow or the other, these guys, they went and took of the tree that God said, don't eat. What is an altar supposed to do? You have authority. You don't have what? Power. So when you have an authority and you lack power, you are like the man who has a police uniform. You have a gun. You don't have bullets in it. So you need bullets in order that the people that are rogues, who will not respect the authority, you can teach them a thing or two. And the altar is a place where the power that you need to get that thing happening is coming down. That's what we discuss. Is that not so? Please don't talk like you are forgotten. No. You guys, otherwise, you have to encourage me a little bit to preach. So you see, that altar is a place where you get power. And as long as that altar is in contact, the power will flow like anything. God's power overrides every other word, power. Do you know that that tree was an altar? It was an altar because it is the reason why God is still God and he can still operate in the life of these people. So it was the source of their power, the source of their invisibility, the source of the reason why they don't have to go to school, but they know everything. The day they decided that they were going to, you know, touch what they were not supposed to touch, what happened? They lost the power. So the same thing happens with your tithing. Because you see, the tithe is for God. Why is it for God? Because there are two entities who control wealth. The devil controls wealth and they call him Mammon. God controls wealth and they call him Yahweh. And God is saying, you cannot serve me and serve Mammon at the same time. So you see, when you touch that one, then you are saying that in this financial area, Yahweh is not king and Lord. Do you understand what I'm saying? And the moment you say that, you open that area of your life to lack, want, perpetual, what, wahala. What do you call it? Is it rat race they call it? Where every time, when the man who comes, you lie down in bed, you are not sleeping, you are roaming all over to try and to. You see, the people that are doing all this sakawa and things like that, they don't swear like that the money comes. Because money is spiritual. Hello? It is what? Spiritual. And so when you begin to operate with that understanding, where when you are giving your tithe, you see, Abraham did not give tithe when he was poor. He gave tithe when he was rich. That's when God gave him the revelation. Because the moment you are rich, you can go to hell. How many of you know that the rich man to enter heaven, it's like passing through the needle of that. Because once you are rich, listen, I've told people before, it doesn't matter who you are. If you have got like $2 billion in the bank, the occultic people will try to contact you. They want to find out who it is that has got this money. And if they come and they check you and they weigh you and they see that you are light instead of darkness, you are a target. Because you are a risk. You are a danger. They will come after you. So you see, when you give the tithe, you cover yourself. So Abraham covered himself. God told him that where you are going, there will be trouble. So if you give that tithe, it saves you from the trouble. Besides, you yourself, the wealth you got, you didn't get it by good means. You went and sold that your wife, you know, and Pharaoh gave you that plenty of money. So the source of the money, and whoever gives you money will come after you. In order to protect you from that one. Do you know that people can even pay you and they say things about the money? And the money becomes loaded. When you handle it, certain things will happen. There are people who will never be attacked with lust until they have money. And the moment they have money, lust is all over the place. And you know, some women too, they will respond to their money. So when they begin to smile like that, then he forgets that he has to be a Joseph. Run away from Potiphar. Now the same thing applies to your offerings. Your offerings make your altar heavy. So when you are giving offering, please always aim to give an offering that costs you something. Don't give an offering, let me put it this way. There is a place where, because of your earning, if you are giving €5, it's quite some money to you. But when you get to the place where, when you give €5, you don't feel anything. In other words, if that €5 fell down, you will even cry over it. Then you have got to this place where that is the amount you cannot be giving as an offering. Why? You know what? Because you don't need faith to do it. Hello? You don't need faith to do it. But where you actually need some level of faith to be able to support that giving is still a relevant giving. It will still empower your altar and bring results. Shall we be on our feet?
Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed this sermon, kindly visit our YouTube channel at Rema Chapel TV. You can also find us on Facebook and Instagram under Rema Chapel Bielefeld.